Welcome to the Lavo Show podcast. Conversations with outstanding human beings whose life has been inspired and transformed by Osho. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Amiyo. Amiyo is a dance teacher, choreographer, and dance therapist. In 1989, Osho asked Amiyo to study Gurdjieff movements, and for the past 30 years, she has been traveling worldwide to share her experience. I'm so happy to have Amiyo on the show, and I hope you enjoy it. Amiyo, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, good. Thank you for inviting me.
It's a pleasure. So, to start, Amiyo, tell us a bit about how you came across Osho.
I came across Osho through my boyfriend at that time. I was in France and I was in a company, dance company. And I thought I had reached what the aim of my life was, which was to dance. I had a good salary. I was on a 100% dance mode. Then I met Avesh, who will become the driver of Osho. He was not yet Avesh, but so we became lover. But very soon after, 3 months later, he went to Pune. And then he wrote me 3 months later, I know your search is about movement and stillness, and maybe here you will find an answer to your question, because there is a master, at that time he was Bhagwan, who speaks a lot about dance, and in every meditation, most of his meditation include an active part with dance and a sitting quiet part. So maybe you want to come and check it out. That's how I arrived in Pune. I remember Avesh picking me up in Mumbai airport, and the first thing I told him, I said, you know, no master. I'm an anarchist. I don't want a master. I don't want a religion. I'm here just for dance. But it was all blah, 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 because as soon as I saw Osho, I fell in love with Osho. This was in 78. So that's how I thought I would come just for a few weeks, but actually I just resigned from my company, decided to stay with Osho.
It's beautiful to hear how many rebellious people who felt like being anarchists and I don't need a master, but then as soon as they come in contact with Osho, they just disappear, you know, there is no question anymore and they just fall in love with Osho and all of that.
That takes over all our big ideals, you know, it's just like this. I was not satisfied in the society I was living. I was not even satisfied with dance fully, because I was always feeling something is missing in my practice and in what I'm doing. Something is missing, and I was not able to find by myself the missing link, and this Osho gave me.
Wonderful. And then you mentioned about Osho that dance is very much part of his meditation techniques, and we'll touch upon that. But just for now, it seems you have two big love affairs in your life, Osho and Gurdjieff. And we have heard about how you have come across Osho, and I'd love to hear how your passion for Gurdjieff movements started.
It started from Osho, of course. You know, Osho speaks a lot about Gurdjieff. And for me, yes, I was listening. Yes, like nothing was resonating in me. Then 3 months before he died, September, I think, he asked me to look at a video, Meeting with Remarkable Men, which is the movie of Peter Brook, the first public demonstration offered to the world of the movements. It's a movie that has been done from the book of Gurdjieff, Meeting with Remarkable Men. When Osho gave this video to me, he said there is nothing remarkable about the movie except the beginning and the end. The beginning is a competition of sounds, and the end, the last 10 minutes, shows the movement. This was the first time ever the movement was showed publicly in the world, and Osho had seen that and he found it remarkable, and he told me, please look at this last 10 minutes and see if you can find the key to this movement, the choreography of this movement, and then report to me when you found it. So I went home and I had this VHS that was not like now the technical progress that you could slow down the video. No, you had to go forward, backward. Some movements were easy to decipher, some were very difficult. And when I after 36 hours nonstop looking at these 10 minutes, I found the key to the movement. I told Osho, okay, I found the key. And he said, okay, in 3 days you start a seminar of, I think it was 5-day seminar on the movements that are on this video. That's how I started.
Wow.
So I was, Osho just pushed me in the swimming pool before I could swim really. But then I understood what an immense gift he gave me before he died by giving me this work to do.
So we will dig a bit further on the science of the Gurdjieff movements, but for now I'd love to explore your spiritual path between Osho and Gurdjieff. As you mentioned before, Osho spoke on many occasions about Gurdjieff and very highly, and that's quite rare. There are very few masters who have been not criticized but Osho, never mind praised, like Gurdjieff. However, we could say that Osho's path is diametrically opposite to Gurdjieff. It's a bit like the tantra path and the yoga path, the path of let go and acceptance versus the path of willpower. So I'd love to hear, how do you navigate between these two polar opposites, and where do you stand personally?
I wouldn't say that the path of Osho is diametrically opposite of the one of Gurdjieff. The form is, but the content is the same. It's the path of awareness. You would say there is the path of love, the path of awareness. Yeah, Gurdjieff movement are very clearly a path of awareness leading to love. Actually, the difference for me, I make it always very clear, Osho is my master, I love him, he's in my skin, he's in my bones. Gurdjieff, I also love, but more out of respect and admiration for what he created, his teaching, but also his music and his movements. What is what Osho brought to the teaching of Gurdjieff as it is done now, he emphasized the practice of sitting meditation and the basic requirement of stillness within the practice of the movement. Yes, the Gurdjieff work has been very much considered as a path based on will, and that will strengthen the will, and also pointed out that this could be a danger. So he includes also both and will and surrender. So on one end, the whole line of the work is based on effort, discipline. And on the other hand, what I try to bring also is this line within the practice of the movement, this line of receptivity and surrender to a bigger force that is the force of the movement, of the group, of the spirit of Gurdjieff, the force of the teaching, So you have to surrender. So our deepest presence is revealed through the process of effort, but also at some point we have to let go of effort. So it's like the path of the warrior and the path of the lover, because we also fall in love with this movement. There is such a beauty in them. So it is like a love affair. So next to awareness and discipline, also bring also the joy of letting go, the joy of dancing, and to work in a relaxed and sincere atmosphere. And to avoid the ditch of seriousness, Osho makes it very clear the distinction between sincerity, yes, and seriousness, no, like this. So each time, basically, before starting a seminar, I just close my eyes and I stop and I'm by myself with the spaciousness and the compassion present in Osho's eyes. And then I silently pray, I would say, to leave this compassion in my teaching.
Okay, that's beautiful to hear, because to me personally, looking at people performing Guggio movements, it all seems quite serious, almost stern and controlled.
Where did you see people practicing movement? You know, it's it is now the movement are basically publicly shared all over the world. And if the teaching is not appropriate, then you tend to have this tense look, when actually in the Gurdjieff movement, the work is a lot on attention, but equally strong, there is the awareness of relaxation. And it is, of course, it needs to be totally present in the moment. So it's not such a subjective art where people smile and no, everybody is very attentive. And when you are attentive, you're not necessarily smiling, but you are not necessarily tense either. So it depends a lot on how the teaching is done.
Okay, because I tried Gurdjieff movement on a few occasions with very poor results, I must admit. And I found the whole experience quite frustrating. To me, the issue is that how to be relaxed and enjoy myself, as you were describing, in executing such a very complex series of movements. So can you explain it a little bit more, how to go about that?
Gurdjieff created 250 movements. Some are simple, some are complex. And the art of teaching this movement is to choose a series of movements that you teach that is appropriate for the level of your student, and not to go too fast and not to go too slow either. Because if you go too slow, people fall asleep or go into dream, inner consideration. If you go too fast, people go into frustration. So how to pull on the elastic and relax the elastic? That's the art of teaching this movement. And with Osho, we learned so much about respect and sensitivity towards each other, that and human dignity, that there are few things that you have to be very aware in that sense. And I'm totally aware that the teaching of the movement is often done in a way that is much too rigid, and then it doesn't serve the picture of the movement, to appear like somebody nearly military, which they are not at all. They are dances that are breaking your heart, and you could sometimes we just cry while dancing them, because they touch you, they touch your soul so deeply. And it has nothing to do with rigid, linear, angular military movements. And unfortunately, that's the image that people have of them. And my work, and I think that's the contribution to Osho into this path, is to show that there is an incredible depth and softness and, yes, love in this movement. You have to constantly be sensitive to each other and to yourself, and attention is very much heightened, and attention is love.
That's very beautiful to hear, and thanks for clarifying that, because, you know, there is a lot of confusion, and including, you know, someone like me, and I had this perception of the Gurdjieff dance as something like military, literally. So it's nice that you bring this Osho element into the picture. I've read somewhere on your website that Gurdjieff dance is a science rather than an art, and it's searching for a specific effect. So what does Gurdjieff movement aim to accomplish?
Well, basically the development of presence. And movement help us to become more aware, not only of course, our gesture, our movement, but also the one behind the gesture, you know, what Gurdjieff calls self-remembrance, you could say. Aware of what you are doing, of what you are feeling, of what you are thinking, and aware of the one who is doing, feeling, thinking, the presence behind. That's it. Development of presence. Presence that is with the same force, including the outer life and also the inner life. And I think it's very important now, because in our daily life, mostly takes us onto the outer. our action, what we have, what we achieve, how we speak, but not on the inner life, from where do come our action, our words, our feeling, and going back to the source. And with the movement, you learn to be aware of the outer manifestation of the movement, the form, the gesture, the tempo, the rhythm, the displacement. But as much as that, we try to be aware of the source inside, and eventually this still point. When Osho gave me the movement to teach, he said, the movement are not a therapy. He said very few things, but I remember very clearly one of them was the movement and not a therapy. One of the aim of the movement is to bring the mind to a point of stillness. So you come to that state where your mind is absolutely still. The mind is very much present. The mind sees, but doesn't think, doesn't go into planning, worrying, or dreaming, or analyzing, commenting. No, the mind is silent. And we use this part of the intellectual center, which is vision, an intelligent vision. I see what's happening inside me, and with the same force as I see what's happening outside me. And this is the work of Gurdjieff, one eye in, one eye out.
And I must say that when I tried the Gurdjieff movements, one of the reasons why I found it very difficult and frustrating is because I couldn't do it, because as soon as I start using the mind, which is common, the mind is always active and thinking, as soon as you get distracted into some thoughts, you're lost in the movement and then you have to come back. So it's a hard practice that shows you immediately that you are off in the mind.
It's not a hard practice. It's a very clear practice. Again, I repeat, you have to choose carefully your teacher. Because the point is not to emphasize that you, how to get the movement and to get them within 1 hour. This is absolutely not the point. The point, and this is the responsibility of the teacher, to keep reminding that the point is to observe ourselves while we learn the movement. Self-observation, self-study is the point, not getting or having the movement. We are not doing the movement. We are in movement. And how am I when I am in movement? That's the most important question. So in that sense, then the movement get out of the mundane worldly aspect of getting and having and succeeding to enter into the world of meditation, where we watch without judging. And when the compassion of the teacher is such that you don't feel judged or pushed if you're not able, if you feel still a bit clumsy with the movement, because you understand that it's just a practice. When you will be on your deathbed, it will not be important for you whether you could do this and this movement. This will be totally unimportant. But how much can you stay aware when there is a moment of challenge? This will be very important. And yes, the movements are a challenge, but a challenge that prepares us to death, which is the ultimate challenge. How much can I stay centered in the middle of the cyclone? And cyclones are so many in our life, you know. So in a way, I have a lot of respect for Gurdjieff's work, because he doesn't try to create in the seminar a cocoon where we feel for a moment comfortable. And no, he put us, he brings us really in the heart of life, which is a life of sometimes chaos, sometimes challenge. And how can I be unaffected? And through the movement, you learn more and more to develop a strong and stable center of gravity. And then it will not be affected so much by outer events.
I think one of the biggest challenge or cyclone, to use your expression, is the nowadays the addiction to smartphones. I feel like it's bringing us further and further away from ourselves. It seems that the mind is getting more fragmented and we are getting more disconnected from our body. From what you are saying, it seems that Gurdjieff movement could be an antidote to this rampant digital dependency and attention deficit that we see today. So in your view, how can Gurdjieff movement help address this issue?
No, because why are we so much attracted to tablets and this kind of thing, Facebook? Because we are bored with ourselves, because we are not, we don't learn to go in and see the richness there is inside. It's very difficult to just sit for us now, when with the movement, more and more you get in a deep connection and intimacy with your body. You start to really love and respect your body and all its possibility and the huge wisdom there is in the body. So we get out of this mind world and tools to get more into a natural and loose friend, which is the body, but also the heart. Most Gurdjieff movement are group movement. And although, you know, it's not that in the movement you look at each other in the eyes. It's not so often that this happens. Mostly you all look in the same direction. You are standing next to someone on your right, on your left, and more you feel so strongly the different colors of these people around you, their presence, the quality of their presence. You start to open your sensitivity to that and to learn to move with them. So in that sense, there is always a very strong, friendly connection between the people, and they become like a family more than in, you know, I am a dance teacher. I did many dance techniques, but this one anyway is not a dance technique. As you say, it's a science. It's a science of the soul. And it brings people very, very close. So the heart is developed as well as the wisdom of the body, the trust in the body is developed. And this part of the mind that is just the intelligence to see what is and not to judge. You make a mistake, fine, no problem. We learn through it and we go on. If you indulge, oh, I made a mistake, oh, I'm bad. 3-4 movements have gone by already. So the movement do not let you indulge into self-condemnation. They take you back to the moment, back to the moment.
I live in Singapore and I see this digital dependency very developed. Yeah. It's much more obvious than in other countries where I've lived. And when I've taught meditation here, the people who came, I could see that they are even more disconnected from their bodies. And I believe that's due to the fact that 70% of the time they're just watching at the smartphone. So I think, you know, what you're saying about the Gurdjieff movement could be a very powerful way to come back to the body, which is essential. The body is the closest we have to nature.
When you discover the joy of the body, you don't want to be all the time the nose in your smartphone. You don't want. It is pointless, really.
Normally, dance is associated with freedom of expression, and Osho used dance a lot as a device of meditation. But normally, the dance in the Osho techniques, you know, Osho encourages us to just free the body, follow the energy. There is no technique, no control sequence of movement. Whereas it seems to me that the Gurdjieff movements are very specific. So, and you are a dancer, a professional dancer and a choreographer and a teacher, and you had tasted both worlds. So how do you reconcile these two approaches to dance and meditation?
When I was in Pune for a few years, I was just I was leading Gurdjieff dance, and then I would run out of the room to lead African dance in Buddha Hall. So it was in the form, absolutely the opposite. On one end, this precise, this science where the tempo, the dynamism, everything is done through repetition, silently, to reinforce the meditation. Then I would go in Buddha Hall. There was a fantastic group of drummers, and we would let go. And there were still steps, but the choreography didn't matter. It was more about letting go and joy. And I loved both, and I love both. And I think you can bring a bit of the discipline of Gurdjieff into African dance, and you can bring a little bit of the joy, let go, and fire of African dance in Gurdjieff movement. And as I told you, to try to relax more and more into this discipline of Gurdjieff movement. The movements are precise and you do it as relaxed as possible. And then come a moment where you don't move from the muscle of your body, but you're very, very aware of an energy, a force that takes you. And in that sense, it's the same as African. You reach a point after some practice where you see what is important to be aware of is not so much the form of the movement, but the energy that gives birth to this force. And if I raise my arm, it's because there is an energy inside my arm that raises my arm. And you become more and more in tune with this energy, respectful of this energy movement, and more Gurdjieff movement brings you in a space of a very quiet joy, like serenity, like an inner core totally silent and your body full of energy, full of life. And this is where you would say African dance and Gurdjieff dance meet.
Okay, makes sense, and thanks for clarifying that. Jumping on, in the past 3 decades or so, neuroscience has made huge progress in understanding the brain function and different pathways through scanning and advances in technologies. Scientists are able to see what's going on in the brain. I'm not sure if there is any specific research on the effect of Gurdjieff movements on the brain, but what would you say is the implication of practicing Gurdjieff movement from a neurological standpoint?
I don't know either whether there have been some research done. What I can say is only about my own experience and what I see in the students. You know, the movement, first of all, they are rarely symmetric. So the right side does differently than the left, and sometimes even a different count on the right and the left. So they really work at the level of the two hemispheres. We have an hemisphere that the right hemisphere that is more intuitive, poetic, in touch with energy, and you have the left hemisphere, which is more logic, science, reason, and so on. And in our life, it's as if between these two hemispheres, we always use the same bridge. And we don't know that they could be connected differently in many, many other possibilities. And the movement, in my opinion, sort of create new neurologic bridge between the two hemispheres. So they can connect in a new way and in an unusual, non-habitual way. And you create like this a lot of connection between right and left side of your brain, which is between left and right side of your body, but also between the polarity between silence and music, stillness and movement, will and surrender, masculine, feminine. Like this, the duality is constantly present in the movement. So I have many friends that are sculptor, painter, musician, and they tell me it's amazing through a practice that is so precise and specific, my creativity has expanded so much. Why? Because a new possibility on the neurological aspect have been developed through the movement. And this I know it because it's my experience and many of my friends.
That's great to hear. And for me, of course, there is no data here to back up any of this speculation. But the way I understand it is that looking at the Gurdjieff movements, they are movements that are not mechanic and are not intuitive. You are required to move different parts of the body in different directions. And clearly, because of science is talking a lot about neurogenesis, that the brain is able to generate new cells and new pathways. So to me, I would bet my money that if there were any research done, they would discover that clearly this type of movements are very helpful for what we just discussed, you know, the improvement of brain functions and new pathways and connection of different parts of the brains. And I mean, you can see it in your own experience as an effect on what people experience in their life. I'd be interested to get some data, some scientists. Maybe, yeah, if you, maybe one neuroscientist will come to your class and they will offer to do some studies with you and your groups.
Just insurance company, if they knew what a treasure this is on people, you know, to strengthen, to heighten your attention, your attentiveness, and then there would be less accident, I'm sure, less car accident. But yeah, if I had this kind of mind, I would try to bridge this world with that world, but it's not my kind of thing, no.
Yeah, it will come, hopefully.
Maybe, yeah.
So, I mean, if people are interested in trying or joining you in some of your workshops or training or activities, you know, can you tell us what are you up to and where do you teach and what kind of classes or training or programs are on offer?
Well, depending where you are in the world, because Chetan, my partner, and I, we travel quite a lot, but I would say close. You know, we were in Malaysia. We just did in Malaysia in October. We did some group called Dancing Soul, which is dance, theater, and voice work, where it is more creativity on a free form. But every day we would do 1 hour of the movement, and people loved it totally. But we also go to India, which is not so far, like in April, we go April and May, and second half of April, May, we are in Oshinisaga, which is in Dharamsala, north of India, beautiful, beautiful center. And then we have groups also in Serbia, in Europe, and Japan, like this. And you can always, people, if they are interested, they can look at our website, www.gojev-dances.com, and our program is there.
Okay, that's great. And I'll link your website to the notes of the show. So if anyone is interested, they can have a look and join you in one of your workshops. So in terms of Europe, because you're based in France, do you do anything in France?
We do some. Today we do in France, we have a performance, I mean, what we call public demonstration in France, in Paris, the 8th of December. Four times a year we have a week of practice open to everyone. And in September, our longest group is of 3 weeks. This year, next year, in 2019, it will be in Serbia, in a beautiful national park by the Danube, by the river of the Danube. And it's open to everybody from the 1st till the 21st of September. And the best, if people are interested, they can always write on my email address or through the website, right? And I'd be happy to answer the question.
Amazing. Thank you so much. So we are heading towards the end of the show, and I've got three final questions for you before we end. The first one is, what's your morning routine? How does your morning look like?
You read my mind, because I was just thinking, it went into my work rather than Osho, although they are not separate. My morning routine, I tell you, I get up and we sit and listen to Osho. At least half a discourse, at least 45 minutes a day, because everything I'm learning still, everything I learned from Osho. And whatever question I might have in my life, in that stillness and silence of listening to a show, I get the answer. So that's my routine.
Okay, beautiful. So the second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why?
The movements. The movements for me are meditation. Soft movements are my meditation. And beside this, just sitting, watching my breathing.
Okay, so the last one is, you leave the Osho experiment. You were one of the pioneers in this movement of creating a new man, Zorba the Buddha. What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho today in 2018?
It's, I'm not a missionary, you know. I'm not someone who tried to convert people in any way to Osho. I just have to leave his message wherever I am and look into my potentialities and become aware that I'm fulfilling my destiny with dignity, with joy, with passion. And this gives a meaning to my life. And the meaning to my life, really, I started to discover this meaning when I met Osho. And then the question I have always is, I receive so much by meeting him, by living a few years with him, by him giving me this work of Gurdjieff movement. And I have to give back. So the question every moment is, what does life expect from me? How can I fill up what life expects from me?
Wow, this is very, very beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you, Amiyo. It's been fascinating listening to you. And thank you for changing my perception of Gurdjieff movement as something like a military, very serious and stern, and I was, you know, literally put off. But I might give it a try with you.
Yes. Come and you will be a little bit reassured about this movement. But you're not the only one. Huh? It's a global misunderstanding. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe next time you come to Asia, in Malaysia, that's very, very close to Singapore, I'll have a look and I might join you when you're
great.
Here.
Most welcome.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Amiyo. It's been a pleasure talking to you, sending you lots of love, a big hug, and hope to see you at the earliest opportunity.
Thank you, Swaram. Stay in touch. And all the best in Singapore. It's still a beautiful city.
Yes, indeed, it is. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, no complaints.
Bye.
Bye, Amiyo. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Lavo Show podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. Visit lavoshow.com for new episodes, blogs, and much more.